live from the NBC News Radio Broadcasting Studios of KCAA, 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM, located in beautiful, sunny California. Welcome to the Water Zone this afternoon. I'm your host, Rob Starr, along with another host, Mr. Chris Davies. And how are you doing?
Splendid today, Rob. Thanks very much. We got a great show coming up. Two of the favorite people in the irrigation business are here.
Absolutely. Somebody who should be in the Green Industry Hall of Fame.
That's right. Somebody who practically is the Green Industry Hall of Fame.
That's right. But what we have is somebody who is a fantastic person who knows the stuff and a super professional. And
absolutely,
he is the owner of Irrigator Tech, which is an excellent school to anybody. And we'll talk about that in a second. And but today, for our listeners, just so everybody knows, it's our quarterly Irrigation Association training session. And those of you who are in the Irrigation Association, by listening and watching the show, you can get some continuing education units. For those of other people who are just do-it-yourself homeowners, property managers, people not in the industry, or maybe they are in the industry but don't belong to the Irrigation Association, feel free to watch. It's great education. It's free. You learn stuff. Today's going to be about backflow systems, and that's going to be wonderful. And so we're almost ready to go. What I want to tell everybody to go to, if you're by the computer so you can watch, you can go to Tiki Live, or the easiest way, go to kcaaradio.com on your computer, and you can see and watch the show. Well, you can see and listen to the show, and it's all in color. So we'll wave to everybody who's out there. Over here is Chris. Over here is Mr. Richard Daigle, and over there is the lovely Mrs. Daigle, and she's acting as the assistant producer today, and wardrobe person to Richard, and getting him all squared up. He actually looked pretty cool. He has some dark sunglasses. And,
yeah, you know, took them off. It was better without him.
Yeah,
A bit of housekeeping for these guys. A bit of housekeeping for these guys. At the end of the show, we'll provide a code.
Yes.
Right? So if those of you seeking CEU units for this. You'll have to wait to the end of the show and actually watch us through to the end to get your code
and
to
send, qualify. And then send it into the irrigationassociation.org, right. And then they'll send you your certificate showing you that you participated in this event. So what we want to do while we give people a chance to go to kcaaradio.com on their computer, let's take a short, quick commercial, give them a minute or so to warm up their PC if they have a slow one, and then we'll be right back to start the training.
Just say sweet nothings to your PC.
Are you presently part of the irrigation industry as a worker or business owner? Do you want to learn how you and your staff can boost your knowledge and productivity? Then you should check out Irrigator Technical Training School. Irrigator Tech is the leading source of quality instruction serving all facets of the irrigation industry. Their courses provide a basic, easy-to-understand approach that raises the skill level, competency, and professionalism of landscape and irrigation personnel through practical education and services. Irrigator Tech combines classroom and real-life hands-on training, leading to a well-recognized certification that both customers and employers demand. Irrigator Tech's specialized courses can help you quickly become a certified irrigation auditor or a certified installer, repair, maintenance, or backflow technician. Courses also include certificates in smart water application or becoming a certified tree worker. Most importantly, all certifications are state recognized, and Irrigator Tech offers annual renewal classes to help keep your certification up to date. So whether you work in California, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, or Arizona, there's an Irrigator Tech class near you. For more information on how to jumpstart your career, call Irrigator Tech toll-free 866-614-1755. Or visit them on the web at irrigatortech.com. That's toll-free, 866-614-1755, and on the web at irrigatortech.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Water Zone. And for anybody who's listening who has some questions about the presentation as it's going along, you can call in. Feel free to do that. In fact, our toll-free line is 888-909-1050. I'll repeat that, 888-909-1050. And if you're local to us, it's 909-792-5222. And if you have on your cell phone unlimited calls, you can call either number. It's free. Right?
Absolutely. Toll-free.
Toll-free. I like those toll-free
plus tax things. And license.
Tax and license and all those extra fees that they put on. Anyway, I'd like to introduce and get serious here to Mr. Richard Daigle. He is the president and owner Right? You the CEO?
Yeah.
You the CEO?
That's what she tells
me. Has your wife promoted you to CEO?
Yeah.
Okay. She's the CFO and all that stuff. Anyway, Mr. Richard Daigle of Irrigator Tech, and we're going to get a picture of you in a second coming on here. And you'll be down at the bottom, and then we'll go ahead and start.
You're up, Richard.
Picture. What's that?
Richard, you're up.
Yep.
Ready to go.
There you go.
Hey, he's got the little picture up there and everything.
And we'll zoom in on you and make you bigger.
Thank you very much. We're going to talk about backflow today, the maintenance, and why do we use backflow, and how to service and repair. Oops.
There you go.
There we go. We're getting there.
There we go.
We're good to go. A couple of small technical issues.
Yep.
Perfect. We got it. Our superstar, Nick, fixed it.
Nick, superstar.
So pretty much every job in a commercial shopping center, commercial buildings would have a backflow on it. Now, we'll go into consumers, and they have anti-siphon valves as well. And there's different types of backflow. So we're going to talk about identifying the components, what do we need to use, what do we have to do. So, and the main things for troubleshooting and going through backflows. Let me get through. So normally we have everybody turn off their phones, but that's okay. We'll just skip through this part. So respect all the equipment. We normally do this class, everything hands-on, right in Ontario. So you can come to that class, and we've got, everybody's got backflows in front of them. It's 40 hours, 10 hours on each backflow, and there's four of them. So everybody takes them apart, puts them together, tests them, troubleshoots, goes through all the processes of making sure that backflow does function in the field. So we'll talk about some different service stuff. The backflow industry is done from the health department. So we want to make sure that everything's functioning, all the parts are moving, we're protecting the drinking water that's in the field. So you think, oh, in my house, I've got an acre, half an acre, maybe I have a job where I have backflow or anti-siphon valves. So what you think about is maybe 10 miles away, there's a fire. When that fire gets going, they send a fire truck and a pump truck. When that pump truck gets there, it hooks to the fire hydrant, and they're putting out the fire. Then all of a sudden, they realize somebody's in the building. The pump truck goes from 80 that was out in the street. It jumps up. Let's get this thing up to 200 PSI. My men just ran into that fire to put out the fire. As soon as they do that, they're drawing more water than what's supplied in the street. So it will go 5-10 miles down the streets and start pushing and pulling all the water from the buildings. Without a backflow, it'll go right into the building and start sucking the water from the restrooms, from if you had a hose inside of a pool, it would suck the water right out of that, drain the pool. So it's, you're not exposed to always put a hose inside of a pool. If you have a bathtub and you have an air gap, so you have the spigot that comes out, and from where that spigot is, you got a little hole where the sink is or where the bathtub is, and it has to be 1 foot. If not, what it'll do, the vacuum that pulls through that pump truck, it'll suck the water right out of the toilet, right out of the bathtub, and pull it into the drinking water, and then get into our water. It'll push through to put the fire out, but now it's contaminated our water. So we have to have backflows to protect our drinking water. Now, a lot of people realize and think, hey, backflows are just for irrigation. Nope, they're for all different type of applications. You go in, get your teeth worked on at a dentist office. When he siphons the water from your mouth and cleans around your teeth, that machine has a backflow connected to it and making sure no saliva, no blood, anything goes back into our drinking water. Someone's delivering a baby or doing a surgery in a hospital. They have to make sure when they are cleaning and making sure everything's doing fine that none of the blood, none of the contamination goes back into our drinking water. Coroner's office has them. Heating, air conditioning. And then when you think Coke and Pepsi supply all the Coke dispensers, selling them syrup and carbonation. If you go into a gas station, there's 20 different ones, maybe Coke, Diet Coke, orange, Pepsi, all the different flavors that we'd have. They do not want it to fail in that we'd be pulling the syrup and carbonation back into our drinking water. So every single one of those, if there's 20 Coke dispensers, there's 20 little 1/8 backflows there. So it's not just irrigation. You have the fire sprinklers in your building that are above in case there's a fire. So you'll see a backflow out in front of a commercial building. It'll be painted red. That water is up inside the pipes and sitting there. Hopefully it never has to go off, but it's kind of a black, mucky, smelly water. So it has to be flushed and tested every single year. So every backflow from the water department has to be tested every year. So they keep a record. There could be 100,000 backflows in San Diego. All of them have to be reported and kept track of. So every time you go into a distributor, it could be Ewing, Site One, any distributor and buying them, that is supposed to be reported to the water authority. If it was Wilkins, it needs to stay Wilkins. If it's Febco, Cabraco, whatever it was, that water department wants it to stay, so they limit their parts so they don't have to have hundreds and hundreds of parts. Now, they give you 90 days to test it. So you get one letter and you have a color of it, and it goes through and it says, hey, you got 90 days to have your backflow tested. Then it goes again in 60 days. And then if not, you'll get fined and they'll come out and test it. Maybe a $85 test, it's going to jump up to $200 to $300 because you didn't stay in the rules that the water authority said you had to do. So the next day after, you have a shopping center with a Walmart, a McDonald's, and all that. They want their water protected. So they say, hey, it must be tested. So it always has to be tested once a year and make sure. So we're always trying to protect it from pollution, damage, or little sticks or anything. You fix a main line, little rocks get in, it goes back to the backflow, it makes it drip, and that can siphon back into our drinking water.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What's on the authority that keeps all these records, that keeps track of how many once a year you get your backflow tested? Is it the water agency or is it the municipality that
it's
or
the water
else?
Agency.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then there is a water purveyor, like in Orange County, and they'll say, hey, there's 600,000 backflows in Orange County. They don't have enough testers to go to every single one, but they have to be tested. So there's a whole process. So they take our 40-hour class, do 10 hours on each one, troubleshoot them, make sure they understand anything that would happen to that backflow. And then they go to the County of Orange, take a quiz and take a test, and then they give them the authority. You can't just go into that county and start testing. And they make sure that you're ethical, that you're following the rules, that you know what happens if something fails or why it's failing, and they want to make sure that everything. So as you can see here, backflow is unwanted reversal of water that may come back into our drinking water. So we're close to Anaheim. We've got in one little shopping center there, there's a high-rise building right by Anaheim Stadium. In that one little place, the shopping center has the fire sprinklers and everything else that there's over 160 backflows. And every single building has one for fire sprinklers, one to protect the drinking water, and one that goes into to protect any water that's inside. A Starbucks has 27 backflows. Every time they move the water, and there is maybe a way that it could be in the process that it could be getting a contaminant, then they're saying, hey, wait a minute, let's make sure there's a backflow there. So anything that connects is a cross connection. The one that really got behind it many years ago was USC. The University of Southern California was contracted by the government because you can imagine being on a cruise ship. You have tons of domestic water. Then you have the gray water. They got to make sure that nothing changes. Imagine in a submarine that you got, you know, maybe 50, 80 people. They're using the restroom and drinking the water. They have to make sure there's no way that something could cross connect and one will go higher than the other. So as a pressure there at Anaheim Stadium, you'll see that high-rise building with 20 stories. The water gets pumped up, and then as it comes down, you're gaining 1 foot ahead, 0.433 times that many feet, and it's going to be the pressure went up at 80, and it's going to come down maybe 160. It's going to be higher than the backflow. So you have to make sure that the reversal doesn't come back into our drinking water. So that's why back siphonage is so important, cross connection, by dropping a hose inside the pool, by somebody spraying chemicals. They have a trailer with water inside of a tank, and they'd be spraying some kind of weed or some kind of chemical or anything else. They want to make sure it's protected and make sure that it doesn't.
We have a caller. His name is John Stockel, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And he's from OneFlow, so he's on the line. John, welcome to the Water Zone.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing good. Richard's here to answer your questions.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great.
You just finished taking the class, what, maybe 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, a little longer than that, but yep.
Yep, you took the 40-hour class, and then you put some extra time in, made sure you guys understood it. You set up your time with the County of Orange and went in and did your hands-on and your quiz there. How did that go?
It was good. They raked me over the coals a little bit over there at the county, but we've made it through.
That was good. That's awesome. Now, how many backflows since then? Have you tested one, two, three? How's it done in your business?
We're probably up to about 15 now. The demand's actually pretty high in this industry, and everybody needs clean drinking water.
That's awesome. That's great. So you took the class. You added this onto your menu within your company, and now you're making money from being certified.
That's right, yeah. We're expanding our knowledge and diversifying a little bit, and this is a great industry to get into, and it's absolutely highly necessary.
So like 90% of your business, which your father and you have been doing this for years in Orange County, and you service homes, commercial jobs, cities, schools, you fix their valves, heads, wire track, all sorts of stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. We do anything irrigation related, and then we're doing all the backflow testing now, too. But I've been in the industry my whole life and had my irrigation company since I was 21, and yeah, you got top-notch knowledge.
So on a daily basis, people go to Yelp or Google, they find you, plus you have a huge clientele, you fix anti-siphon valves, fix problems out in the field on a daily basis.
Yeah, we do everything irrigation-related, and we can take care of any backflow needs as well. And we handle all the paperwork, we send people a reminder before their test is due. We try to make it a worry-free experience.
And then that backflow, you actually spun off a whole nother company, right? And what's the name of that company?
That's called OneFlow. And you can visit us at oneflowbackflow.com. But yeah, we've been doing quite a few tests, and we're excited.
Great, great. That's awesome.
Well, there's certainly a need in the industry now for this with the numbers that you were just spouting out a few minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, you've actually dumped some 6-inch and 8-inch. You sent me a picture of a couple big boys.
Oh, yeah. Yep, those were fire sprinklers, which a lot of commercial buildings, almost all of them, are going to have.
Wow.
Well, that was awesome.
All right, well, let's get back to your presentation.
So thank you very much. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, fellas. Have a good one.
You too, John.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Hey, so let me just tag on that question for just a second here. So basically, even if you just lay a hose on the grass in your backyard, right, after you've washed your dog or something like that, if without a backflow on that hose spigot, right, you can create a cross connection.
Right. And so you could have fertilizer.
Yeah.
Some your gardener came 2 weeks ahead of time, put down some fertilizer, and now you got a puddle of water around your sprinkler head or just puddles from the hose. And then you think, well, how would that siphon in? But if somebody 2 miles away hits a fire hydrant, all the water pressure, they knocked it over, got in an accident. Now everything pushes to where that was, where that main line break is. And now it starts siphoning the fertilizer, chemicals, weed abatement, anything into our drinking water.
Well, the only thing I liked is you talked about the Coke machines. Yeah. So if I get the free Coke in my house, that'd be great. Anyway,
so, sorry. I mean, you don't think that, you know, but you get Coke, you have, you know, different type of elements that could get. So the water departments always want to protect our drinking water.
Okay.
So in the ag market, you could be, you know, having tons of tomatoes, lettuce. They got to have some way. They're fertilizing, injecting fertilizer into the lettuce, the tomatoes, all that. We just want to make sure it doesn't ever siphon back into that drinking water. So in the ag market, in the sports field market, we got to make sure there's no back siphonage. So it's not two pipes crossing together. It's just that it, when the water goes into your house, it then it goes into your backyard and runs your sprinklers.
It's more than just your yard. It's in the
yeah.
whole layout.
I mean, it could go into the fire sprinklers. Now in San Diego with all the fires, everybody wants to have fire sprinklers in their house. So you have a backflow there and you have a backflow for your house. So that's just part of it. Keeping clean water all the time. You know, we just don't realize that we have to protect our water. We take it for granted
yep.
that we can just turn on a faucet and drink the water, and we got to make sure that it's always protected.
Correct. All right.
And so there is a double check, which is used for fire sprinklers. A pressure vacuum breaker, which is small. Those are little 3/4, 1-inch ones. You can be in Las Vegas by law in Nevada. Every single house, if there's a million homes, there's a million pressure vacuum breakers. We are in California, a RP, a reduced pressure vacuum breaker state. That's the highest, keeps the best protection for us. And then you have little anti-siphon valves that you can hook up at your house. Those you can buy them from Iritrol, Toro, any distributor has all sorts of them. At Home Depot, they have them. Now, that's not a spring check, but it's a minor protection. It'll still protect our water, but it's better to put the backflow.
And it is a requirement.
Yeah. And you want to make sure they're functioning so nothing ever siphons back in.
Yeah, those things don't have to be certified.
No.
No, just the big system.
Just the big boys. But if you got, you know, vegetable gardens, you got rose bushes, you're fertilizing a lot, you may want to say, hey, you can put a 3/4-inch PVV in for $65, and you got full protection. You never have to worry about something siphoning back into your personal drinking water.
Yeah. And basically, you can put that PVB, pressure vacuum breaker, on at the source. Do you need a PVB for every single zone?
No. You just need one. So you're coming up, you got water meter at your house, and as that main supply comes close to your house, then you got a pressure regulator right before it goes in to the house. That's where you put it. Now you can put an artificial rock over it, some bushes around so you don't see it as much, but then that protects everything else. So the water department sells you water. They actually have the water meter. They call it a register. And they're selling you the water. After that, they want it to be protected.
What happens in areas when it's cold? Now, California doesn't get as cold as some other. Well,
yeah.
It could, but just
not
say,
as bad.
Yeah,
so Oregon, Washington,
Wyoming, or something.
They use double checks. So okay. Every house in Oregon and Washington, Minnesota, New York, they're going to use a double check, and those are going to be in vaults underground.
Right, and they also have thermal blankets, some special blanket that they can wrap those in.
Yeah, I was just at Wilkins maybe 3 weeks ago, and we had people from Canada. And we were talking. They have 10-inch ones, and they go, oh, no, they're in the building, covered in vaults. And if you get a 10-inch or a 12-inch big boy backflow and close a door and it fails and then dumps that water, it'll fill the whole room full of water faster than you can shut it off. They got to go in with diving equipment to get to the backflow. Gross. Now, we don't have that problem in California because we're mostly all the backflows are above ground. So they're easy to see. They're not attractive looking, but we put blankets or vaults around them. You probably would see cages on them, thousands of them, and didn't even know what they were.
Yeah, most of the parks or the county or city properties, you see a lot of those with a fence with a lock on it so nobody can mess with it either, because you don't want anybody touching it who's not supposed to touch it or not certified to work on it.
So by law, you can see I have a parts breakdown here that you shouldn't be buying and putting in the parts. You can go into a Home Depot, Lowe's, or any consumer place, Ewing, SiteOne, any distributor and buy the parts, but you got to be real careful when you put them in. Sit down, put a towel down, slowly take everything apart. But if you're a contractor, you have to have a backflow certification license to do it. If you're a homeowner, they can't stop you. You're just going to go, hey, I want to save the money. It's O-rings, gaskets, and I want to make sure. But you want to make sure you do it very carefully.
Right.
And you're very mechanically inclined. So, I mean, these are big boys here on this one where you have two double checks. And then that piece underneath to the right is a relief valve.
And explain, we all know what a double check is, but maybe some of the
So the double checks are ones that you can bury. So if you're in Detroit, they're going to have a vault that opens up and it's going to be underground. It's not going to dump to atmosphere. Now, us, we have the RP that's to the far right here. It's an 860. It has that little relief valve.
Right.
So what it does is water starts to drip from it when there's a failure, and then it gets worse and worse, and it's basically waving its hand. Hey, come check me out, because one morning you're going to wake up in the shopping center, I'm going to dump a 6-inch main line all over the parking lot because I got a little stick or a bug or something crawled inside and tore the diaphragm or made it so it couldn't seat off.
Is there any remote monitoring of these things?
No, they... On fire sprinklers, yes.
Okay.
They'll have an alarm system because we got the fire sprinklers up in the top and something goes off, they got to make sure. It's not like the movies that you think and you see all these people come out and they look all happy and everything. No, that's black sooted water. And they're going, I'm just basically trying to get out of the building safe. The alarm goes off, goes to the fire department. The fire department says, hey, we better get there. So that as soon as the fire sprinklers go off, then the fire department comes out. So if you're going to test it, you have to call the fire department and say, yes, on Tuesday at 3:00, I'm going to be there. I'm going to test it. Is that okay with you? Yes, I'm going to turn the alarm off. And they turn the alarm off and you're able to test it. Now, most of the problems you want to check is that if it's sticking open, you have to have one PSI where the spring check is, where the surface, it has to be inspected and cleaned. So you could have leaks. A lot of times you'll just get it. And I can take a little teeny thin piece of Teflon tape and stick it over the seat, where on an irrigation valve or a little piece of glue, you're going, oh, that's a weepy head. Nobody thinks anything about it. A backflow, it's a big deal because you don't want contamination on the other side, fertilizer coming back into the restaurant, coming back into the hotel. So they want to make sure the seats are all good. There's a lot of cleaning to it and making sure that it doesn't eat up or calcium or anything else. So when you start seeing it leak or chatter, you need to call up somebody that's certified, which you could call us up at Irrigator Tech. And we will find you a certified student that will go out and make sure that your backflow is functioning and you're all happy and taken care of.
With the one-year renewal, what happens if there's stuff in between? I mean, is it smart to have somebody come and inspect it more often than just once a year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you see something, I mean, somebody fixes a main line, they replace a valve and water siphons in and it gets passed back into the main line. And then out of that little rock, that little stick, a little bug goes in and holds the seat up. It will start leaking. Now, it doesn't know that, but now when it reverses back, it could siphon that water back in to our drinking water.
So if you see construction within a mile from your home, you should be checking this out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's good to know. People, they go over and say, hey, I went into the street, I went down, we hot tapped into the underneath the concrete into a 12-inch line, and a bunch of stuff sucked in. And when it sucks into that main line, now you got little debris in there. Golf courses use it. Anywhere you're pumping any water, if it's dirty water, it can get stuck. So it's always cleaning and you're fouling. So normally it's always your number one check, like 80%. It won't get past, it'll get past the number two check, which is on the out part of the valve. And then the number one is closest to the main line. So it's not going to let it. It's going to dump out the bottom of the backflow. It's not going to let it get back in. So all of it is cleaning, reassembling, taking it apart carefully, wiping everything off, taking, when you buy a kit, Febco Wilkins put all the little O-ring lube, all the little pieces. You just sit there, slowly take everything apart, and put it back together. Now, I would always recommend that you get a professional to do it, but if you're a consumer and have a little 3/4 inch, a little teeny one, and you're kind of like Chris Davey, somebody that wants to kind of fix things himself, he goes, oh, I'll do it. How hard can it be? You know, he has a degree and knows how to do stuff. He's pretty handy around the house. He gets his little glass of wine and stumbles around.
Well, his wife told me he was certified.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she meant something else.
Something.
Richard, you know me so well, buddy.
So he normally, Chris, can just about fix anything around the house. And there's a lot of people that can do that. And he just gets his wrench set and goes sits and works on his anti-siphon valves or works on this. So it can be done by a consumer. But in some cases, you go, well, this job might be too big for me. And you call a professional and have them come out and do it. So once it gets to be too much and you don't have the parts and you got old parts, hire somebody. If not, you got the time to on a Saturday, just put down a towel, get your little wrenches and slowly take it apart. Go down to your local distributor, put all the parts in, and it'll probably go smooth as silk. So you just have to know. Now, the great thing is that everything, you can go to Green Industry News. That's our YouTube website. We got at least 40 videos on us troubleshooting, taking apart backflows, and us as well as other people. And you can see, oh, okay, I go to YouTube, you know, hey, how do you repair a 3/4 inch RP? Bam. And it'll show you. How do you change your brakes? How do you do anything to your car? There's a lot of do-it-yourself stuff on there. So you can do that. But if you charge for it, you got to be a contractor. But if you're just doing it on your own house. So any kind of debris, as you can see here, that the debris, cleaning, wiping, sealing, in most cases, people will take it apart and go, how'd that little stick get in there? How'd that Teflon tape or how'd that glue float down and stick in the corner? So these are some of the symptoms. This is a PVB, a pressure vacuum breaker. This is a Febco, very popular for consumers. It's usually a 3/4, a 1 inch. When you're in Vegas or any other area, Arizona, your distributor is going to have hundreds of them there because they're on the consumer houses. Very easy to serve. 6 inch backflow for 6 months or a year, the building's abandoned. Well, then you can take a hose from the number one where the ball valve is, move it to the number 3 or 4 and force it to go. With that O-ring lube, it will push it. And you can use the water pressure instead of just taking the whole thing apart. So that is something that can, and we have that on our video where you can watch it all little things so people can see and go, oh, I feel comfortable doing that. as long as you feel comfortable and you're pretty handy with wrenches, you can do it. But if you're not, then you go, hey, well, that looks, that's quite a bit. My husband, you know, isn't that sharp. So you can look at all these different things, the reduced pressure vacuum breaker, the assembly. So when you see here, you can see that you have a ball valve or a gate valve on each side there. You have four test cocks where you put a pressure gauge onto it. And it's a special gauge that you use for just testing and making sure you're holding the pressure between the springs. So you got a number one, number two, number three, and number four test cock. You got to make sure each chamber holds the water and that nothing would sneak by and ever get back. So, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that, then you make sure that you get a good contractor to come out and check it out.
What are those that you see, and you do a lot of the stuff in the West and Southwest and the Northern Coast. What do you see as the average price for the different sizes of these things for people to come out?
Normally,
long does it take to do? Sorry.
So it normally takes about 10 to 15 minutes to do the test. The paperwork takes longer, but you're there making sure, check one, check two, notify. So you notify, it's called notify, identify, inspect, and observe. You notify the client, you're there. I'm going to test your backflow. Hey, Mr. McDonald's or Burger King, is it okay? Then you identify it. There's a serial number on it. Make sure you write the serial number down. Make sure you go through all the processes that, like you're an airplane pilot, that you make sure that, hey, every single gauge and how it's being tested is being tested, and we're getting the proper readings on it, one step at a time.
Now, do they change? I know you mentioned again earlier that they have to notify city or county, whatever, if they change the manufacturing brand.
That's right.
And so that's important. Do they have to? Is there an initial, a special test beyond what they would normally do when they install a new one? Or replacement?
When you repair one, you always have to do the notify, right, identify, inspect, observe, and then you should call your water authority. If you have a second guess and you go, wow, that stem's leaking, if it has to be taken out and you go, well, hey, you know, I went into my local distributor, they don't carry FEBCO, they carry Wilkins. Well, the size is now added 2 more inches or 3 and it's off. You want to try to get it so it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. You didn't have to make all these weird turns and stuff where you would have friction loss on it. It looks clean. It looks very nice. And a lot of, you know, cities may say, hey, I just want Wilkins. I just want FEBCO. I like it. I want to stick with it. If something fails in the field, we have a whole warehouse of the spare parts. I don't want to have 20 different vendors' stuff. Just like valves. Hey, some people just say, hey, that I want to use plastic or brass, or I like this pop-up. It's much easier to go with, hey, I want to have all Toro pop-ups. I don't want to have oddball ones, whatever was at the hardware.
And there's lots of those in every home that I've ever seen. Somebody goes, their landscaper just has a different brand. Hopefully it's the same thread. They'll put it on.
Right.
And you know, to me, it's just like audio systems. If you buy something that's all matching, it seems to work a lot better,
yeah,
than mixing everybody's brands together.
No brown spots.
Because no matter what they say, I can tell you for a fact that when I take a look at spray nozzles or spray bodies or whatever, everybody has their specs, and they all look the same. But when you test them, they're not exactly alike.
No, they're
all
not
different.
I was just at the, maybe 6 months ago, at the owner of the Padres baseball. Beautiful, insane house. But he had brown spots all over the place. And they're going, wow. I mean, it was gorgeous, huge place. Why are the brown spots there? And I said, did you fix this head to the contractor? He goes, oh, yeah, I fixed it 2 months ago. Is that when the brown spot happened? And he goes, yeah. And I could grab the grass, pull it up. Now, there are normally some swing joints when you put a head in. Well, instead of putting 2 swing joints, he had 6 swing joints. So every time the water came down out of the PVC pipe, it hits a 90, hits a 90. Every time you add another Marlex swing joint, you're losing 1 foot of spray. So it's just going to start spinning backwards. and then cavitating and hitting another one. He took them off. I put a catch can out there. I go, let's go back to two swing joints. The water, we put it out there, ran it. It went right in the catch can. So you kind of want to stay exactly what the irrigation designer
is there a regulation for that? Because I know for laying electrical cable and conduit, you're only allowed to have so many 90-degree turns.
They right.
won't allow you to do, you know, four
oh,
or
yeah.
something like that.
It's like putting in wire. People don't realize it. If the gopher comes over, chews the wire, after six wire nuts, the resistance will not pull the plunger.
Right.
You can't just keep on putting endless heads on. You go, hey, I got a 1-inch valve, I got the flow of this, and I got six heads. Some people just go and go, I'll put another head in. I'll put another.
Well, you change the current, and that's going to prevent it.
That's the same thing.
Turning on.
So the fittings, everything should stay exactly like the irrigation consultant or architect or whatever your professional contractor designed and put in.
Right.
I'll move forward on all this on the PowerPoint.
Yep.
So you can see there's a lot of cleaning, a lot of troubleshooting, replacing seats and rubber good. So, okay. So we just flow through that. Check valve. Make sure everything's clean and nice. Now, these are your anti-siphon valves. So in California, they're very popular. Once you leave California, if you get in the desert or you get in the freezing cold, you will not see these, because they have to be 12 inches higher than the highest head.
Right.
Well, if it's freezing in Detroit, there's no way they're going to make it.
Right.
It'll freeze and break.
And if you have a large hill in your backyard, you need to put these up pretty high.
So in its primary California, they have to be 12 inches higher than the highest head. And they're, you know, reverse flow valves. You got Iritrol, you got Orbit, you got Rainbird, Hunter, Toro. Everybody's got one. You go into SiteOne or Home Depot or anybody, and you just want to make sure they're nice and level and they're 12 inches. There's a little float inside. If the water goes higher, it's going to go and dump the water to protect our drinking water.
And you got to make sure the spacing is going to be the same as what you took out, because some don't fit. Some are wider than others.
That's absolutely right. So whatever was there original when they built the manifold, if it was put in all Iritrol, you should just stay with Iritrol. Because now if you go with somebody else's model, it's going to be a little longer. It's not going to have the same footprint. And it looks very unprofessional. Maybe have an Iritrol, then a Hunter, and a Rainbird, and a brass one, a plastic. It just doesn't look good. But if they're all looking, and you go, hey, I got it all gray, they look clean, and you got an artificial rock over it so the dogs and no one tampers, it lasts for years.
So in this case, it's okay not to be politically correct and put everybody's brand in at the same time.
Right. I mean, you know, whatever it started with,
right,
keep it that way.
So, Richard, regardless of whether you have heads, rotor heads, spray heads, or whatever, if you have check valves on those sprinkler heads, you're still required to have an anti-siphon valve at the beginning
Absolutely.
Of the zone.
Because that's
just
a
point
spring
that out.
Check.
Yeah.
Right.
It's holding that spring check. Is if you got it at a low head or any of the water, which everybody should be putting check valves, because it's harvesting the water. So the valve goes off. What happens to all that water in the pipe? It's sitting there. It's going to drain or just sit there. We don't want it to drain. We want all that water to stay. You got a little check valve, and it keeps it back 10 feet normally for anybody's head.
That's 10
correct. Feet ahead. And then you figure, oh, I got 100 heads. You're saving that much water by harvesting it
right.
in the pipe.
Right.
And they're not very much.
People don't realize all those lateral lines get, when they drain them off without the check valves, it's just a waste of water. Every time you start
right.
up, you got to wait and it has to fill
and
up.
And the water in the
right.
last head way down the hill or
Absolutely.
Behind the bushes, it's right. just draining.
Yep.
So these are handy tools. You should always have the right tools to go through stuff. And some of the questions, after repairing or disassembling a backflow device, it is not necessary to retest it.
False.
False. Anytime you take something apart, it has to be retested. You never know. The diaphragm might slide some way. you might have put too much O-ring. You might have not got something lined up.
Or you got extra pieces left over.
Yeah. You're all, wow, how did this go together? I put a bike together and got extra parts.
Yeah.
If a backflow is 2-inch or smaller and has gate valves on it, is it okay to test? Chris?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. Chris knows the answers to everything. You could ask him a rock falls from the sky a million feet in the air, and he's got it down.
I hear the music in the background.
This is an impromptu question.
Oh, it's coming from here. Okay.
So on this, they have not had gate valves on a 2-inch or smaller for 25 years.
Yeah.
So that backflow is so old, it will not shut off and isolate.
Yeah,
so
you always,
if you have two gate valves, you go to shut it off to fix a valve downstream, the water keeps on coming.
Yeah.
So normally you go, hey, I got my investment. They haven't made anything with gate valves for 25 years. I've got my money out of that. I need to replace it.
Yep.
So did he answer the question, or I'm ahead of him by one?
No, you are ahead of me by one. I was checking my
I know
post.
You were. I was just kidding with you.
People listening.
By law, any backflow that's 2-inch or smaller needs to be replaced because it has done its service and spent its time. The rubber parts are so old, there's no way they're going to hold up.
Reach the end of its useful life.
Yep.
I'm going to put my phone down now.
Is it okay for the handles to be off? You see tons of backflows. The gardeners don't want the kids to turn off the backflow and then shut it off. Well, as soon as you take those handles off, it's not good.
That's right.
The fire department, police department have to be able to have access to it. So the answer to that, which there are thousands of them, don't have the handles on them. Now the fire department comes out. They went ahead and hooked up to some building a half a mile away. Now your backflow is dumping. How do I shut it off? It normally, once you take the handles off, it's stripped.
Yeah, and normally, or not normally, but when they're covered with a cage and a lock, the fire department always carries a bolt cutter.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
So it's cheaper to do it that way than to lose everything else and
be stuck. And those handles are for protection, is that maybe there's a food processing building next door. Now the fire was down the street. It's siphoning back something they were cleaning the tomatoes with. And now we don't want that to come in. They see it dumping. How do they turn it off? They'll come unbolt it. They'll do whatever they have to. But what happens is when you take those handles off, you now trying to find a positive, where is the shutoff? It'll just spin in a circle. You will not have a shutoff. If you leave the handles on, then it stops.
Is there, Richard, is there color coding on backflows? Like for gas, for example, it's yellow, the handles are yellow?
Normally it's blue if it's a domestic.
Right.
It's green now if it's lead-free. And Chris is real familiar. He worked in the lead-free, making sure ball valves, gate valves were all lead-free. So if you go there, all the new ones, everybody says for the cities, the school, let's put lead-free in. So those would have a green handle. So you got to make sure if you take them off, you put the right ones back on.
Right.
So it's better just to leave them on and have a cage or a locking mechanism available.
I've seen chains wrapped inside of them and then without the cage and keep it closed.
Is it okay to have a Febco backflow and put a Wilkins ball valve on it?
No.
False.
USC, the University of Southern California, everybody sends their backflows to be tested. It has to be a 2-year testing. When you get it out of the box from whatever distributor you bought it from, it has to stay exactly that way. You can't modify it. Oh, I want to change this. If you're out servicing and you're a property manager and then someone goes out and they go into some distributor and say, just give me the cheap one. That little import one that I want to stick on there. Nope, it was Febco. It has to be Febco.
Are the certifications, do they come with the basic unit when you buy it? And when the guy tests it in the field, does he have to match it to what it says from the factory?
Exactly what it was. Because now what it's doing is you got a full port ball valve, and then if it bushes down, now it's going to change the pressure of the inside of the backflow.
Right.
So we want to make sure that it's safe And you're always good if you go, well, I went right back to whatever the factory had. If it was Wilkins, I went back with Wilkins. If it's Vebco, I went back with it. I didn't just start making up stuff. Right. So if you're somebody out there and you go, hey, I need it to be, just kind of stick with whatever was there. It's illegal to be able to change it and go it. If somebody, some maintenance contractor came in, he goes in and gets a really nice red and white ball valve and then switches it and puts that in instead of Febco. When I come out to certify it, I go, hey, I'm sorry, that's got to come off. I know we just charged you 2 months ago. That's illegal. It has to be exactly Febco or Wilkins. Now, you can see these pictures here that we don't want to put pipe dope on rubber goods. It'll make it stick. It'll damage them. We don't want to put other ports on. As you can see on this one picture, they put them on. It fouled, and we got to take the pipe dope off. On this one down here, people hook up, bush to the test cock to clean up. This one here, it looks real nice, but they got too many backflows. It only needed one down in the basement. This one, they took an RP and buried it. It has to be 12 inches higher than the highest head. This one over here, they wanted a hose bib down in the basement to wash their car. They put the hose bib before the backflow. It has to be after. So they can't be washing their car and set the water in this stuff. This one, you got the RPN. Somebody built a wall here. How are you going to service that backflow? So the guy had a bunch of banks, and they put in where they put the ATM machines. They built a wall right against the backflow. Here, right here, the customer did not want to see the backflow. So instead of doing what's by the law and have it 12 inches higher, they buried it. Now all that would siphon back in. We don't want all those mosquitoes and stuff coming into our drinking water.
They get a Zika virus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are all great not to do this pictures.
Right.
Yeah. So here, somebody put in a backflow, and you want to make sure they went around it. If I turned off those two ball valves, the water would still get to the other side. Right. They just did it that way. Here, the same thing. Why do I want to climb on the top of the roof through the ceiling and check my backflow up on top there on the ladder?
All right, Richard, so as we start to wrap up the show here, right, let's have our listeners hear how they can get a hold of Irrigator Technical Training School and where they can go to find out more about you.
Yeah, so you can go to the web, www.irrigatortech.com. You can check us out. If you want to learn more troubleshooting, go to our Green Industry News on YouTube as well.
Now, the code for today's show, after you get your continuing education units, is Whiskey Zulu dash Boy Frank 1, WZ-BF1. Send that to the Irrigation Association. And how do they contact you, Direct? Is there
just
an email?
Just go to 866-614-1755.
And can they get a copy of this as well?
Yep.
Okay, great. So sorry we ran out of time. There's a lot of stuff to learn, and try to squeeze it in this quick hour. So Rich.